You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Lord John Budden to look ahead to the best of the racing on Monday. It's Bank Holiday Monday, of course, and there is racing from absolutely everywhere to look forward to. If you listen to William Hill Racing Radio tomorrow, Dave Kellner is in the presenter's chair alongside John Budden and Rory DeLarghi, and we'll bring you the best of the action, all of the action that we can possibly bring you. It's going to be a tight squeeze and we'll do what we can. We won't be able to take everything, I'm afraid, just partly due to the sheer amount of racing that there is. But feature racing comes from Ireland in the form of the Irish Grand National at Fairy House, and myself and John are going to look at two races at Fairy House and two at Redcar on this edition of the podcast. Firstly though, Lord Budden, how on earth are you?
Well, I'm very well, really. I had a collision with a car about a fortnight ago.
I heard this.
Since then, I have recovered. A bit stiff overnight.
What were you doing, jumping in front of cars, John?
Well, yeah, absolutely extraordinary. But I'd look both ways, and I was pretty certain there wasn't anything coming, but there obviously was. And I stepped off the pavement, bang. However,
but you're okay now?
Yes, I'm very fit.
Good, good. And you're here, yeah. And that's what matters. And as for Bank Holiday Monday's racing, there's so much, isn't there, to look forward to. Let's face it, barring the Irish National, it's not the strongest racing that you're ever going to see, but there really is something for everybody. And if you can't find a bet that you like on Monday, I think you need to give the game up, don't you?
Yes, you'll find too many. That's the trouble, Alex. A lot of loyalties will spring out of the page at you, and you will change your mind, and then you'll be sort of banging your feet against the wall.
We'll start with the 4.25 from Fairy House. It is the Keeling's Irish Strawberry Hurdle, a Grade 2 contest over 2.5 miles. Just the seven runners here, John, but seven pretty high-quality runners. The thing is that Sutton Place seems to hold most of them on either form or collateral form, doesn't he?
Very much so. It's an interesting factor about the racing at Fairy House on Bank Holiday Monday that Gordon Elliott, to my sort of rather poor Irish guru form, looks to have an absolutely marvellous chance of really confirming his position at the top of the Irish trainers' table. He's got some really fancied runners throughout the day, and it wouldn't surprise me at all if he ended up, you know, getting quite a number of thousands of euros in his pocket. Yes, Sutton Place, Barry Geraghty, Gordon Elliott, J.P. McManus, 5 times a winner. And yep. Does, as you say, seem to hold the opposition. Certainly holds the potting shed, who I had a brief sort of thought for. The question is Tombstone. Tombstone was, you know, everyone shortlist for Cheltenham, and then disappointed in the Coral Cup. And on the form he showed at Cheltenham, he's got to improve quite a bit. So I do think Sutton Place has got a grand chance and has to be the choice.
It's interesting that you mentioned the Irish trainers' title, because seven runners in this race trained by Gordon Elliott, Gordon Elliott, Gordon Elliott, Gordon Elliott, Willie Mullins, Gordon Elliott and Willie Mullins.
Yes, well, there we are. And
incredible, isn't it?
It is incredible. I mean, say the complete domination, basically, of the Irish. You know, I feel very sorry for Jessica Harrington and also for Henry de Bromhead, who are really absolutely first-class trainers themselves, and they've shown that with a number of tremendous wins during the season. But, you know, they just get outdone by the mass battalions of Messrs. Elliott and Mullins.
We'll move on then. So we're saying Sutton Place wins that one?
Yeah, Sutton Place.
Yeah, hard to get away from. Likely to be a fairly short price, but like you said, looks pretty solid and crucially beats Super Sunday as well, as well as some of the others racing
in
that race.
And
Super
Cup
Sunday
winner.
Went to win the Coral Cup, beating Tombstone comfortably. So,
I mean, he ought to win, I think, Southern Pace.
The Irish Grand National comes up at 5 o'clock. Now, we've got 30 runners running in this, Lord Budden. 14 of them, 14, almost half, are owned by Gigginstown. It is incredible. Firstly, I didn't know there were that many colours in the world to put on caps. I wouldn't want to commentate on this.
No, I can say, Alex, it would be pretty hard do, weren't it, to
say,
commentate.
You run out of colours after a while.
Yes. I mean, as I said, they go at a tremendous cavalry charge in this race. And, yes, I wouldn't be very happy to be a commentator.
Not at all. Do you think that this race is going to go to a Michael O'Leary-owned winner?
I think it's got an extremely good chance, yes. Extremely good chance. And yet, it's a race that often throws up a surprise, doesn't it?
Rogue Angel was the winner last year, by the way.
Yes.
And Rogue Angel does turn up again.
And Luke Elder napped it last year, I remember.
Just 9 days after a front-running display in the Aintree Grand National. You'd imagine that's too quick a turnaround, wouldn't you?
Well, one would have thought so, but
it ended up pulling up, incidentally, at Aintree.
Yes.
But did put up a really bold sight for quite a way.
Absolutely right. And, you know, it's just the sort of horse who might go pretty well here because staying is very much Rogue Angel's absolute game. And it won't be quite as fast as it was at Aintree. Mm. I don't think that was something that was, you know, really discussed all that much at Aintree. It was too quick for a number of fancied runners, and I think it was probably too quick for Rogue Angel. What have we? Well, we've got, as you say, plenty of opposition for the Gigginstown. Gordon Elliott's got a whole crowd of horses in the race. I've always liked Noble Endeavour. What's your view about Noble Endeavour?
A tricky one to get right, I would say. But I struggle to get Gordon Elliott horses right at the best of times, which is saying something, because he's had such a phenomenal season and few years now. But I would say he is a trainer that I do struggle to get on board with, and I find that often when I do actually fancy one of his, it's backed off the board so much that I don't actually want to back it anymore.
Yes,
but Noble Endeavour has to have a squeak in a race like this at a competitive enough price.
Yeah, that's what I thought. But he has got a lot of weight, of course, Noble Endeavour. It's going to be right up the top. And my stats is not particularly good about the Irish National, but I get the impression that you don't want to be right at the top of the handicap, and Noble Endeavour is pretty close. I thought Tiger Roll has got to be in the argument here, simply on the grounds that he was a good winner of the four-miler at Cheltenham, and that form generally works out pretty well. So, you know, he's on my shortlist, Tiger Roll. I'm interested in Fox Rock from the Walsh Yard.
Yeah.
Fox Rock has always been talked about, has been already a top-class horse. Interesting in a way, the connections decided to change their mind slightly and not run at Aintree, but to wait here for the Irish Grand National. Has been running in Hunter Chases. Pretty consistently. Some people criticised his jumping a little bit, going left-handed last time. But nevertheless, a solid supporter. And I think Fox Rock, you know, he will stay every yard of the course, must have a squeak. I've always had a slight liking for Bonnie Kate. Pulled up last time out. But, you know, she's quite a hairy contender, I don't know if she has got long hair, but she really does stay, and one of these days a big race like this is going to come her way. We've got Harry Fry with a horse, haven't we?
Fletcher's Flyer.
Unexposed?
Very unexposed. A 9-year-old now has only had 13 runs.
Yeah, Noel Feely in the saddle.
Yes.
Just beat at Ascot last time, is that not right?
Yes, third behind Big Bad John.
It doesn't look good enough, but it's an interesting sort of entry, isn't it? And then I like Abolitionist.
Okay, abolitionist for...
Abolitionist because...
Elmarie Holden and Rachel Blackmore.
Mm, I thought this horse won the Leinster National really well.
Mm.
Gets on extremely well for Rachel Blackmore. And so with a time of the year where the lady jockeys, both in this country and abroad, are, you know, hitting the headlines, to win the Irish National for a lady jockey would be, you know, a big feather in the cap of Rachel Blackmore. I think it's desperately difficult, but I'm going to go for Abolitionist because I thought this horse won the Leinster National really well.
Okay. Abolitionist then gets the nod in a fiercely competitive renewal of the Irish Grand National. We'll move back to England then and back to the flats and to Redcar for two races that we're going to focus on Bank Holiday Monday. The first of which is it the 3:45, John? Is that what
it is? The
3:45, which is a handicap over 6 furlongs. 15 runners run here. A Class 3 event. Plenty of these making their seasonal reappearance. Plenty of them ran in similar races last time out. Pretty hard to call this.
It is hard to call. It's also the draw factor of Redcar always worries me slightly. I tend to be a centre to inside. In other words, not too high a number unless the ground is very soft. Well, I don't think it will be very soft at Redcar tomorrow. Jeff Harker, very much a Redcar specialist. He's got the top one, Wentworth Falls, who actually won extremely well at Doncaster in a contest that several of the runners are renewing rivalry with Jeff Harker's winner. Whether you go back-to-back is another matter. My experience of Jeff Harker's horses is that they tend to win out of the ether, as you might say, and then quietly wait before doing the same thing about a month or so later. So I'm just going to quietly pencil through Wentworth Falls, but I would expect him to run well. David Barron's got his horses going in pretty good shape, Alex, and Handsome Dude shouldn't win this race on the strength of the Doncaster race, in which Wentworth Falls had him quite well behind. But he was quietly fancied, Handsome Dude, for that race. Was not drawn well, didn't get a very good run, and it wouldn't surprise me to see Handsome Dude take really quite a hand in this. Question mark horse is Munfallet. David Brown.
Was in very good form when last seen, but that was quite a while ago.
It was quite a while ago in the autumn, but this man, David Brown, can get horses ready very, very fresh and go first time out. Won well, I thought, at Chepstow and Haydock. Looks to be quite well handicapped. I think he's got to be seriously considered in the contest. I've seen Kenny the Captain run well, got beat. I think that was in the Doncaster race as well. Cosmic Chatter, Ruth Carr's horse, is going very well. But I thought it might be a straightforward fight in the end between Handsome Dude and Munfallet. And I'm going to go for the one that hasn't run since the autumn, and that is Munfallet.
OK, Munfallet gets the nod in that one for Lord Budden. And for what it's worth, I'm going to throw one in right down at the bottom of the weights. Grandad's World for Richard Fahey and Paul Hannigan. Richard Fahey started the season in typically solid form. He doesn't do a lot wrong, and with Hannigan on board at Redcar, I think it could be a bit of value at a big price.
Yeah, you could well be right, Alex. I mean, it is a minefield of a race.
Oh, completely.
And you are correct when you say what you say about Richard Fahey. Incidentally, young Connor Murta is the jockey I'm following with Richard Fahey, only just 17.
Mm. The final race we're going to focus on this podcast is the 4:20 from Redcar, a straight mile handicap, one of many that take place at Redcar through the course of the season. They're always hard to find. This one looks just as difficult, John.
Yes, it is very tricky indeed. In fact, you know, the Bank Holiday Racing, as we said right at the start, it's got full of loyalties and possibilities, but equally so, you could be well out of luck. Let's hope that's not going to be the case this time round. I like this race a bit. Alistair Willans is running his horses quite frequently at the moment. He normally a trainer who you wouldn't associate with that race running until quite seriously into the summer. But I've seen that the Hoyk trainers had a number of entries. He's got Hidden Rebel in this race. Now, I know that Hidden Rebel loves Sound Surface. He's a much better horse when it's a good or good to firm. And I think conditions at Redcar will suit. Ran reasonably well on the Tapita surface last time out. Fourth at Wolverhampton. Could improve a bit. Pace will be set by Save the Bees. No question about that. Favourite horse of mine. Loves Carlisle. It's remarkable, really, because Carlisle is a really demanding course with a tremendously testing uphill finish. But Save the Bees tends to run extremely well at Carlisle and also runs well at Pontefract, which again is uphill towards the end. Has had one outings at Doncaster. Will be obviously improved for that. So I shall be watching to see how he runs. Dubai Dynamo, getting a bit long in the fang, but this is his time of year, you know. Ruth Carr's horse is running pretty well, so I wouldn't rule him out completely. And rolling him out, we've got Roller in the contest too for Mickey Easterby. Comparatively, sort of a new arrival at the Easterbys, completely unexposed. The stable done very well during the winter. Could easily be there or thereabouts. But I'm going to go for a horse who I think is the fittest in this race. His form may not be absolutely, you know, sparkling, but it's Eastern Dragon from the very much in-form Ian Jardine stable. Uh-huh. Unlucky with Shrewd, incidentally, in the big new race at Musselburgh on Saturday. Just coming to make his usual late run when the gap closed and he had no chance after that. Eastern Dragon has been running quite a lot during the winter, will be very fit indeed, and looks to be well handicapped here, and I think he's got a squeak. So in a wide open contest, I'm going for Eastern Dragon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.